The sermon text is the Holy Gospel of St. John, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned, but the one who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the basis for the judgment. The light has come into the world, yet people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. In fact, everyone who practices wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, or else his deeds would be exposed. But the one who does what is true comes toward the light, in order that his deeds may be seen as having been done in connection with God. The Gospel of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It is probably the most memorized passage in the Bible. It is probably the Bible passage that is stuck to the most bumpers, and probably the passage that is stenciled on to the most signs that are raised up behind uprights during field goal attempts. John 3:16, which begins with our Savior saying, "For God so loved the world." Now, the phrase "so loved" might make you think that Jesus is telling you that God's love is big, that he is talking about the size of God's love for the world. But he's not really. Now, of course, there are a lot of Bible passages that teach us that God's love for the world is big. There are a lot of Bible passages that present the stunning height and depth of the love of God. It's just that this isn't really one of them. The word "so" in "so loved" is the translation of a word that literally means "in this way" or "thusly." So Jesus here is not teaching us that God's love is big, which of course it is, but he's teaching us that God's love expresses itself. He is teaching us what God's love looks like. That God loved the world and he showed it like this. He gave. God loves by giving, donating to be exact. And the way that God gives is foreign to sinful minds like yours and mine. Because no matter how purely we try to give, no matter how altruistic we might think we are being when we give, we always give expecting to get something back. I give to you now, you give back to me later. Or something out there, call it what you will, the universe, karma, whatever, it'll even the score for me down the line. I'll expect some kind of windfall because I have been a generous person. If nothing else, when I give, I expect my conscience to give me a lovely little pat on the head. Say, look at you, good boy. Giving. What a good person you are giving like that. If nothing else, I at least expect to get a good feeling out of it. But God is the pure donor who gives, requiring and demanding nothing at all in return. And he had to be that kind of giver because who was God giving to when he showed his love? He was giving to human beings that God himself calls, this is God's vocabulary, words that he uses in Scripture, and you heard several of them before from that section from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He was giving to people who were dead in their sins, who were slaves to sin, who were God's enemies, who were spiritually blind, people who were by nature objects of wrath, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2. God was giving to people who had given him nothing but sinful disobedience that had plunged themselves and all of God's creation into the curse of sin. But God showed his love by giving anyway. And that is pure divine love. That is godly grace. God also shows his love like this. He gives the right gift. He gives the one perfect gift that we needed. Have you ever received a gift before and thought, nice thought. It's not exactly the gift that I need right now. Of course, that's rude to think that. You should never say it out loud, especially not in front of the person who gave you the gift. But it's hard not to think it sometimes. Like if you were ever a flat, broke college student and your grandma sent you for Christmas yet another Santa sweater and you open it, you think, oh, okay, I'll put it next to the other six from the last six Christmases. What I really needed right now, though, was a $50 or $100 bill because I'm broke. Or your wedding registry got ignored, which happens sometimes. And as you're opening your fourth toaster, you think, it's nice. Don't really need four toasters to start our lives together, though. You get a gift. It's always nice to get a gift, but the best ones are the right gift, the gift you need. And God shows his love like this. He gives us the one right, the perfect gift. He gave his only begotten son. Now that is the perfect gift, the one right gift, because God was giving it with a purpose, to save the world through him. God loved the world like this, that he gave in pure grace, and he gave the right gift, because when God gave the world his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, he was giving us all of this in his son, Jesus Christ. And again, this is God's vocabulary, his expressions in scripture, where he calls his son, Jesus Christ, the righteousness of sinners, the reconciler of enemies and rebels, the liberator of the spiritually captive, life for the spiritually dead, sight for the blind, salvation for the damned. God gives to the world all of that in his son, Jesus Christ. Righteousness, reconciliation, life, liberty, sight, salvation. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. The Son of God, his perfect gift to the world, was raised up on the cross to give us all of those gifts with his holy life and with his sacrificial death. Everyone who looks to Jesus in faith receives his holiness, his righteousness. Their sins are laid on him, and they receive the eternal, the unending gifts of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. Through all of this beautiful message about how God loves the world with perfect grace and gives it the absolutely right gift for salvation, and he leaves nobody out of his love, Jesus' words also make it clear that not everybody in this world loves God. There are many people who prefer unbelief, and they remain under the curse of sin. That is not the way that our loving God wants it to be. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God does not desire any sinner to turn away from the perfect gift of his Son and to perish, but unbelief and the love of sin persist in our world. Which is why we are so thankful to God that he has given us the gift of faith in our Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus tells you in these verses what the effect of that faith is. Jesus draws a straight line to an Old Testament story. A story that the man Jesus is speaking to would be very familiar with because he was an expert in the Old Testament. It is also a story that you should be familiar with because you heard it not 15 minutes ago. It's the story of the Israelites on their way to the Promised Land, and they sin against the Lord by complaining, grumbling against him. And the punishment was venom and death for the Israelites. Well, once that happened, they were sorry, and they cried out to God for healing. And the Lord told Moses to put a bronze serpent up on a pole, and any Israelite who looked at that bronze serpent raised up in faith was healed, and their life was renewed. And Jesus compares himself to that when he is raised up on the cross. Everyone who looks at Jesus in faith is healed of their sin, and their life is renewed. And not just for another 20 or 30 years in this world, but it is renewed for eternity. That gift is yours and mine through faith in our Savior Jesus. We also need to hear Jesus say that he wants everyone in this world to hear that gospel message, to believe it, and to receive God's salvation for themselves. Jesus spoke this gospel message in person that night. Now he speaks this message through his people, through his followers like you and me. He wants us to go to the world that he loves and tell the people that we know God loves you. He loves you personally because he loves the whole world. And God not only loves you, he showed it like this. He sent you the perfect gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, for your eternal salvation. God wants you to believe that because he wants you to be with him forever in the heavenly kingdom. Who do you know who needs to hear that message of Jesus Christ through you? Maybe you think, she knows. She knows that. We brought her to church when she was a kid. She's heard that before. Or maybe you think, isn't this what we pay missionaries and pastors for, to talk about this stuff? Why do I have to talk about this stuff to people I know? Or maybe you think, that guy, if I ever said something like that to him, he'd laugh in my face. It's worth noting that the man Jesus originally spoke these words to, by all logical human evaluation, never should have believed what Jesus told him. The man's name was Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. We know generally how Pharisees felt about Jesus. He was also a man who had heard this from Jesus before and did not believe it. But the gospel brought this man, Nicodemus, to faith. On Good Friday, Nicodemus made a powerful confession of faith. Together with a man named Joseph of Arimathea, he boldly and bravely confessed his faith by taking the body of Jesus down from the cross and honoring him with a dignified burial. That was a very dangerous thing to do on the environment of Good Friday. Nicodemus did it because he believed. This gospel message is the power of God that breaks unbelief. So think of someone you know who needs to hear it, and don't assume that it's not going to work. If it worked on the heart of Nicodemus, it can work on any human heart. Where it works, when it works, on whom it works, that's all the Holy Spirit's business. That's not your job. Your job and mine as Jesus' people is to echo faithfully the message of God's love for the world and how he showed it. And this, finally, is also our work as Christians. Jesus says, "The one who does what is true comes toward the light in order that his deeds may be seen as having been done in connection with God." Jesus is telling us here to show with our deeds that we are connected to the deed of God. So what is God's deed? It is to give freely to his enemies the perfect gift of salvation in his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, so then how would you show with your deeds in your life that you are connected to that deed of God? You would also love your enemy. Think of someone you know who has made themselves your enemy, somebody who deserves nothing good from you, and love them. How in the world is that possible? They are my enemy, after all. Well, watch God. When the world was still his enemies, he gave the perfect gift. He put his love into action. Of course, you are probably never going to have warm, fuzzy feelings toward an enemy, a person who deserves nothing from you, but you can still put love into action. You can give them something good. Not perfect, of course, like God, but good, demanding nothing in return. And then you are loving like God, who gave you, who were his enemy, the perfect gift of his Son Jesus, and the faith to believe it. Amen.